If you bark, meow, quack, whinny, or have someone in the house that does, this is the talk show for you. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. In this segment, Rick, we're going to talk with Steve Oberg, a member of your staff, and we're going to talk about what can people do when they do have that emergency situation with their fish tank, whether it is the beginnings of a disease or the fish just are not acting right, or if their situation changes and they can't keep their fish, what do they do? There isn't a fish rescue, so I understand that you have come up with a way of dealing with that. Steve, when people come in and talk with you about their fish tank, what can they do in order to prevent an emergency from wiping out their whole tank?
Sure. The first thing is, you know, always our number one goal is people's success and enjoyment of their aquariums. And we dedicate to quite a variety of things to help ensure that that's what happens. The first thing we do is we offer free water tests. And people can bring in a sample of their water, and we can check that for them free of charge as often as they'd like to make sure that everything's going on in the aquarium as it should. The water can be clear. The water can be cloudy. The fish can be showing symptoms. The fish can be looking perfect. But testing the water is really the first step in knowing whether there's something that's about to happen or whether or not the correction we're about to give is going to work. As far as disease, certainly being observant of the fish and noticing changes in appetite, changes in behavior, those are all things to take note of and give us a call at the shop to let us know what's going on. We actually have two full-time fish health experts, one of which who's a veterinarian, and they're always available for making sure that we can diagnose someone's fish problems, and they can actually do necropsies on fish as well as examinations of live fish as well to determine what the sickness is and what the best resolution can be to get it corrected.
Steve, in your experience, is the problem usually dealing with the fish themselves, or does it have to do more with the water where it could be temperature related or it could be the base or the alkaline of the water? What usually causes the problems more often?
It can certainly be either. I mean, of course, you first want to start with healthy fish, and that's one thing that we're committed to is holding the fish here, the new fish, away from our existing population for a careful observation and acclimation period. We make sure during that time that the fish are recovering from the stress of shipping and the fish are eating well and showing limited symptoms. And at that point in time, then we can justifiably move those fish out to be sold. That's a pretty rare thing that we do, and that's our commitment to making sure that we're only letting healthy fish leave the store. So starting out with healthy fish certainly helps to minimize the occurrence of problems. Now, when fish do get the unfortunate battle with disease, you know, that can certainly be, you know, related to temperature changes, to problems with the water chemistry. It can be due to problems possibly put onto the aquarium by the aquarium keeper as they're learning what actions on their part can both relieve the stress of the fish as well as unfortunately cause them stress. You know, for example, someone might get very ambitious and maybe clean the aquarium really aggressively and maybe change 90% of the water in the aquarium. You know, that can be very stressful on the new fish. And so we would suggest to do more frequent, smaller partial water changes to relieve some of that stress, to make sure that the new water is the same temperature as the old water, and to make sure that they've gotten rid of the chlorine or chloramine that might be in that water.
Hi, Steve. This is Rick. I'm wondering if you could comment a little bit, because one of the other situations that we seem to have happen quite commonly is bad weather, either during the summer or the winter, comes through, and then all of a sudden we have another whole crisis that's kind of outside of the customer's control, and it's outside of our control. What kind of steps can that customer take? Maybe highlight some of those particular issues that come up, what type of events happen that cause trouble, and then how do we remedy that particular issue?
Sure. Yeah, that's a good question. Given, you know, a power outage, you know, we want to notice that without power coming through the wall, the life support, you know, for the fish is going to get interrupted. You know, And barring having a generator or the power coming back on quickly, you know, we need to take action to help the fish. The first thing that can happen is that they can get deprived of oxygen, you know, without that turbulence and the aeration that it can occur. And the one simple way and one inexpensive way to deal with that is we actually have an air pump that's automatically going to come on as soon as it senses the power outage, and it's going to operate for, you know, as much as a day or two before the batteries need to be changed, and then you just pop in a couple more batteries and it can run for longer. So that's the first step.
Yeah, and I think that's like a $20 item. People a reference, that sounds amazing that you could have a piece of equipment that pops on as soon as the power goes off and maybe spend $20 to do it. So go ahead.
And fish that have a value, not only are they part of the family, you know, and so their value in that regard is not something you can really set a price on. Yeah. But then also, you know, you might have, you know, hundreds of dollars of fish, you know, that you can save with a simple device. Now, we also have for larger aquariums a much larger air pump that actually operates continuously and takes the place of the traditional air pump. And then also has the feature where it will automatically turn on when the power goes out, and it'll switch over to a battery, and it'll make sure that the tank doesn't become oxygen deprived during that period. The next thing that can happen, especially, you know, for example, now in the winter it's so cold, if we lose power, we might also lose our heat, and we'll want to take a look at what we can do to insulate the aquarium and or heat the space that the aquarium's in so that we can keep the temperature of the tank from falling too fast. The oxygen's something that's going to be needing to be corrected quickly, as in within the first couple hours, whereas the temperature loss is something that you might take the house, you know, 12 hours or 24 hours to cool down, but if we take corrections early, we can make sure that the fish don't get stressed. And that can be as simple as some blankets wrapped around the aquarium. You might even be as ambitious as to have some pre-cut styrofoam that you keep in the basement and bring up and quickly tape it around the perimeter of the tank to hold in that heat as much as possible. And then once temperature and oxygen have been dealt with, the final thing that can happen without the aquarium filtration running is the water can become fouled, you know, with the waste of the fish, decomposition of plants, those types of things. And some small water changes, and certainly using us as a resource to test the water, can really be helpful at that time to get things back on track. And for that matter, for the first, you know, few days or weeks after a significant event like this, coming in and using our free water test is a great way to make sure that the aquarium is back and recovered.
Steve, what do people do? A lot of folks lately, in the last few years, it seems, have gone to outdoor koi ponds and other things like that. How is the weather affecting them, and what can they do in a situation of extreme weather?
Sure. In a koi pond, for example, in the winter would be the most significant time to have problems, when the pond can freeze over. And there's means you can make, like having the pond deep enough. If the pond's generally more than a few feet deep, it'll be deep enough that the fish will be able to overwinter without that stress. Although we do like to keep the top of the pond from totally freezing over, so we actually use floating heaters that'll actually keep a pocket of water open on the top to make sure that there is some oxygen exchange. It will be a lot less than in the summer when the waterfall is running and all the features are going. But at least in the winter, you know, that can really relieve a lot of the stress and keep your precious fish going through a winter.
Well, thank you. We've been talking to Steve Oberg from Pruce Pets. Thank you, Steve. We appreciate your insights on this.
No problem. Thank you.
Well, that's our show for this week. Thank you for listening. And we hope you'll join us next week for the next installment of the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS. Fox News and Monica Crowley coming up next.